Thank you for having me and us. The podcast was fun. The Bad Take Podcast. Yeah.
Me and Rachel would love to help you at any point in time when it comes
to that's what I'm getting from this conversation. I'm like, I gotta travel with y'all and shit. Like, you know, y'all experienced travelers, so I'm a rookie. China.
Me open China.
He ain't gonna come to China.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, right? Why not?
I don't know. I ain't take you for a China person.
I mean, but remember I just told you I wasn't until I went to Jamaica and I realized I gotta, you know, start seeing the world. Like, now I don't know about us being on a fucking cruise for 3 years, but I will go to China and shit. Like,
yeah, because me and Rachel never met in person before, so
no,
yeah,
we haven't.
Yeah, tell them how much that costs. She said it costs 400 British pounds, which is basically $500 for an apartment, mm-hmm. 2-bedroom apartment in China.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, so where are you from, Rachel?
I'm from England.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's why you knew about the story about the dude and his bike stole, because you had took that.
I may or may not have had something to do with that.
She begged for it.
Bad.
No. I never been to London or England. So that'd probably be a good thing. We probably all meet up there one day or something. Like
in England, yeah. I'm trying to get out of this place.
Don't let me
come back here.
Oh, it's going down over there?
It's going down.
Oh, yeah, never mind. We got to meet somewhere else and shit.
The third world countries, they make it seem like the third world countries are so terrible, but they're the most peaceful right now.
Yeah, because I've seen, like, over there in England, is they a bunch of, like, knives and shit, like, going on, right? Niggas getting stabbed and shit. London drilling on that shit.
Tell us about that. What's the whole thing, like, with people getting stabbed? Like, what's that all about?
Well, we don't have guns, so knife crime is pretty high.
Yeah.
So what's somebody just go get a... Is it like a special knife people go and buy, or are they just taking it out of their kitchen?
Bro, like people will use anything as a weapon. Like machetes, axes, knives, butcher's knives, baseball bats, anything. We don't have guns, so anything else is a weapon pretty much. But knife crime... Oh, shit. Knife crime is pretty high. Especially in London.
So, can you get robbed like that? Like, do somebody just run up on you and say, give me your fucking phone? And so, like, what do they do? With a knife?
I'm
fucking running, tripping.
They will chase you. I've never had anyone try and rob me. I lived in London for like 2 years during COVID, and I never experienced anything like that. But like, my ex-boyfriend that I had when I was in London, he got robbed a few times. Like at knife point. The thing is, like you kind of sense it, like you know it's about to happen. Do you know what I mean? So it's like they're going to be like, you know, they'll threaten you, like give me a watch, give me this, give me that one. You just got to give it. You just got to hand it over. Like it's not worth risking your life. Do you know what I mean?
I'm running, man. Look, if you ain't African or Jamaican, I'm running.
They probably.
No, but you can't underestimate that because you never know. Like, he hawk you the fuck down, then what? Like, you just better off just, you know what I'm saying, just letting that shit rock. Like, and live the fight another day.
Yeah.
But shit, I ain't know that. I thought you was like in America or something, but.
You look bottle American of water? Now,
no, because you could have, because you know, some people, they, you know, you could have had an accent and still be in America. So I didn't know if you was here or.
No, so I tried to come into the US, but I got deported.
You had stabbed somebody?
What?
Yeah, you had stabbed somebody?
No, I didn't even get through the border. They detained me at the border for like 15 hours and then deported me back to the UK. I've told this story so many times, so I'll try and tell it with interesting points.
Okay.
So... I've been traveling Asia, right? But I've been traveling for 3 years in total, around Europe, around Asia, right? So I was in the Philippines and my visa was expiring and I knew that I was going to be coming to the US at some point during the summer. So I kind of timed it so I'd be leaving as my visa expired in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
And basically my plan was as a UK citizen, I can come and visit on an ESTA instead of getting a visa. And that gives me 90 days without a visa to travel the US. Okay, so my ESTA got approved. And then when I was coming to the US, I was staying with, like, as I travel, like, I do things to make it cheaper. And obviously, I know the US is going to be expensive. So I had been in contact with some people who live in South Carolina, and they needed their house looking after whilst they were away for the summer. So I was going to take care of the house, and in exchange, I would have free accommodation, right? Mm. So that saved me a lot of money. So I didn't have to worry about my accommodation. Anyway.
Wait, I want to stop right there for a second. She just gave out game just right there.
Yeah.
She's able to stay... Bro, listen, you heard what she said.
Mm-hmm.
She's able to stay somewhere. She don't have to pay no money.
Mm-hmm.
And all you had to do was what?
Just look after the house.
Look after the house. The people's going. She got a free place. She could roam in America free. And how did you do that? Like, is there a specific website or?
So honestly, there is a website you can use, Trusted House Sitters. But honestly, I always just use Facebook groups. There's so many Facebook groups where they're looking for people to like look after their house or their cats or dogs or whatever. And it's all over the world. And you can get short sits for a week or two, and you can get long sits for like 3, 6, 12 months.
Okay.
So yeah, Facebook. So I'm traveling to the US. So I was flying into to Korea, then from Korea to LA, and then LA to North Carolina, Charlotte. Okay. So my final stop was Charlotte. So I kind of sensed, I don't know if it was my intuition, that there's going to be some bullshit when I got to the US. So I had already done like a little bit of a clear through on my phone, because as you know, Naz, I am pro-Palestine and the US is pro-Israel. So I did a little clean out of my phone. And I was kind of prepared for some bullshit to happen. But anyway, so I get to LA. I've traveled for like 36 hours to get here. I go up to the desk where you give your passport. And so I give him my passport and he's just asking me questions like, what's the purpose of your visit? How long are you staying? And then he asked me to show him my Onward ticket. But I didn't have an Onward ticket because I didn't know exactly what date I was going to be leaving. Because I was like, I might stay here 1 month and I hate the place.
All right.
One second. And I want to explain real quick what an Onward ticket is. You can basically, most of the time, if you travel into a place, like let's say I'm going to Jamaica, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be in Jamaica for a while. I don't know when the next time I'm going to get another flight. I might go to Aruba. I might go to Colombia. I don't know. So you can get an Onward ticket. It's on onwardticket.com. Mm-hmm. And it'll basically print out a fake ticket for like $15, $15, $16. And that'll basically suffice like when you show the people. Because sometimes when you're traveling, these people don't, they need to know that you're not going to just go in a country and just disappear.
Right.
So a Onward ticket kind of shows them that you're going somewhere, even though it's not a real ticket, but yeah.
Yeah. So he was asking me about this ticket and I was like, oh, I don't have a ticket right now. And also when I applied for my ESTA, which got approved, it didn't tell me that I needed to have an Onward ticket. So that's why I didn't have it. If I knew I needed one, I would have had one. Mm-hmm. So I think that initially kind of like made them start thinking, this is a bit odd. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, he asked where I'd been traveling. I said, I've been traveling for a few years and did it all. He's asking me all these questions. And then he's like, oh, do you want to change any of your answers before I take you in the back? And I was like, no. So then he takes me into like the back, which I don't even know what to call this place. It's like an extension behind the airport. As soon as I go in there, they've already got my passport. So as soon as I go in, they take my phone off me. So now I don't have my phone. So no one actually knows that I'm here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I'm sitting in here and obviously I was supposed to get my connecting flight. So I'm kind of like, oh, am I going to miss this flight? So I'm getting paranoid about that.
Right.
But I've been sitting there a couple of hours and then eventually they call me over to the desk. And as soon as I sat down, like the lady behind the desk had like just an attitude with me immediately. And she starts asking me all the same questions. She's asking what I do for work. And like, I work remotely. I teach English. So I was explaining it to her. And she just was like, well, I don't understand how you teach English to people if they don't speak English. And I was like, well, that's the whole point in me being an English teacher is that I teach them English. Then I was showing her like my schedule and like my payments and everything. So I'm showing her all of this. And then she tells me to sit back down. A couple more hours go by. At this point, I know I'm not making my connecting flight. So I've probably been here for about 5 or 6 hours now. And then she tells me that they want to search my luggage. So they take me into further into the back. They pull up my luggage. They search all my luggage. And then they tell me to go back into the room. But by this point, I've been here probably like 7 hours. And like, I've seen people coming in and out, in and out, in and out. And I'm still here. So at this point, I'm starting to think, I've been here a while. This is not looking good.
And that's all the time you don't have a phone.
I don't have a phone. And let me tell you, this room that we're sitting in, there was nothing to do. Everyone is just sat there in silence, just staring at each other.
What demographic was it? Like, was it all white people? Was it black, Asian? What was it?
Mostly, I would say mostly Asian. Yeah, Asian, Hispanic. I'm getting impatient because I'm like, you know, no one's even told me like what I'm being held here for. Right. So I get up and I go over to her and I'm like, you know, what is going on? And she says, in a few moments, we're going to take you out back, further in the back, to do an interview under oath. And I was like, a what? She's like, an interview under oath. I was like, what the hell is that? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, you're just going to like have an interview, but you're going to like swear to tell the truth. And I'm like, so basically what I've done the past twice. So they take me into this other place. And this is when I realized what is going on, because they take me in this room, and this room was like, it was very cold, like the air conditioning, the AC was on. There's no windows. The lights are just like beaming. And I see like camping beds, you know, like army camping beds.
Oh, but
no
God.
Blankets, no pillows. And I see that and I'm thinking, why would they need beds here? So then I'm like,
I would have been bitching in my head, like, what the fuck? Like,
is she not and, from here?
The fuck
I- yeah, and like I've not slept for 2 days and I haven't eaten all day because I landed early in the morning and they've had me fucking in this airport all day. So I've not eaten. I've not had anything to drink. I've not slept. And now I see this and I'm like, no. And I just said to her, I was like, am I being detained? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. So in that moment, like I just started crying because like I was just so overwhelmed. And then she's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. Da, da, da. So anyway, so now I'm waiting in this room.
Okay, I'm about to be on the top bunk. What the fuck are you talking about? Like,
yeah, so I'm there for a couple of hours in this room. And then eventually they assign me what they call a case worker or case officer or whatever. So, I didn't even tell you. When I was going in here, they literally stripped me down pretty much to my underwear and searched me. Before they put me in, yeah.
Let me ask you this before you continue. What made them even get the hint to look at you to pull you like that? Like, what did you do? Did you look at them? What did you say?
I didn't do anything. Like, I don't know. They never actually told me why they'd initially detained me. But when they gave me this case officer, I'm not going to lie, he was actually really, really nice. He was the nicest interaction I had the whole time I was in that airport. Because everyone else I spoke to was just, they had just an attitude and just like, just really, what we say chewy in the UK, just really chewy from the moment that I got there, you know, just weren't very nice. And so I go in and speak to this caseworker. And I remember the first thing he said to me was, I know you probably feel like you're being treated like a criminal right now, but you're not. And I was like, but you are. You are. Like, you've taken everything. No one even knows I'm here. And I had someone pick me up from the airport in Charlotte. I hadn't even been able to tell them that I didn't get on the flight. Right? So he's talking to me and, you know, he's asking me all the same questions again. And then at one point I did say to him, like, why have I been detained? Like, what is it you're looking for? And he said, we just need to make sure you're not a threat to the country, so you're not a terrorist or you're not smuggling drugs.
It's crazy. I kind of figured that while you was telling the story. I'm like, because for them to do all that, I'm like, once you said that, the what was the ticket called again? You needed it?
Onward ticket.
Yeah, it's like once they seen that and they just trying to make sure, like, you know, with all this stuff that's going on, I'm like, that's probably what was going on. It was like, no, fuck that. Just make sure, like, even though it was drawing, but that's what I was thinking to myself. I'm like, why would he just do all that for, you know what I'm saying? Like, for
no reason. He got a good observation, because when I was in India and they was kind of like on to me for no reason, they asked for my onward ticket. One person walked up here, another person over here, another person here. And I'm like, what the fuck? They asked me for my visa. They asked me how heavy my bag was. Like, you know, they start asking questions, like, when they be on to you. So,
Yeah. So he said, you know, we need to make sure you're not a terrorist, so you're not smuggling drugs. And I was like, okay, but you've checked that. You've checked my luggage and everything. You can see that that's not the case. And he was like, oh, we also need to make sure you're not coming here to, like, benefit from our government. So you're not coming here to have a baby. And I was like, have a baby? I was like, do you hear what you're saying? I was like, I'm from the UK. If I wanted to have a baby, I would go back home where I get free healthcare and maternity pay. Mm-hmm. Like, coming to the US to have a baby would be a disservice to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said that, it made me start to think, like, the other girls who had been detained in the same room as me, I was the oldest one, okay? So all the girls, I'm only 28. So all of the girls were in their early 20s. All of them were females
in the same room with you?
Yeah.
So they detained a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, but they were all female. They were all solo travelers, and they were all under the age of 30.
And ain't nobody talked to each other?
Oh, of course we spoke to each other.
So what was y'all like? Damn, who y'all think gonna leave first?
There was... Well, when I first got in there, actually, there was one older woman in there, and she told me, oh my God, when I said I got there and I started crying. So there's just me and this woman. And she told me she'd been there for like 5 days.
Damn.
So when she told me that, I'm thinking, oh my God, how long am I going to be here? Do you know what I mean? So they gave her like snacks.
Oh shit. Yeah. Doritos for 5 days.
But I mean, one of the girls in there, she was from Italy. She was on an ESTA. All of the girls were on an ESTA as well. We were all on an ESTA, all female, all young, all traveling alone. And then when he said that about, you know, you coming here to have a baby, and they were asking me questions as well, like, oh, who paid for your flight ticket? And I was like, I paid for my flight ticket. You know, but these questions started to make me think, like, do they think I'm being sex trafficked?
Got you. Because you've seen the other female that was younger, and it got you.
So, and just their questioning. It's like the woman, when she was searching my luggage, she was like, oh, so what do your parents think about, like, your lifestyle of you traveling like this? And I'm like, I'm 28 years old. What does it matter what my parents think about it? Mm. You know? So... Mm-hmm. That's what I think. But then after I have this interview under oath with this officer, he then tells me that he wants to go through my phone. And I remember seeing a video online before I came to the US of this woman. She's a lawyer. And she was saying how, like, they're not allowed to go through your phone.
I was about
phone.
To say that. Like, how the hell are they going to just go through your phone? Like,
yeah. So, yeah. So when he said that to me, like, I instantly got very, very suspicious. Like, I don't trust your government. So I didn't trust them anyway. But then when he said that, it triggered me, like, watching that video, and I was like, this is suspicious. So then I think he noticed that my behavior switched a bit, and I was like, forgive me, but I don't trust you. I don't trust your government. I don't trust you. I said, I don't feel safe right now where I am. So you asking to go through my phone, like, I don't think you can go through my phone. And he was like, yes, we can. And I was like, I don't think you can. And he was like, as a visitor here, this is what he said to me, you have no rights. And I said, okay. I said, well, if I don't let you go through my phone, what will happen? And he was like, oh, well, you're probably going to be denied. So I was like, okay, so if I say no, I'm going to be denied. So I might as well just let them go through my phone. So I gave him the password to my phone. But I remember before I gave it, I said to him, like, oh, can I speak to my British consulate first? Or can I get legal advice? And he was like, no. Like, once we finished our investigation, then you will get your phone call to whoever you want.
So let me ask you this. Does every country have like a British counselor or somebody that's there for you? Because in India, when I got left outside all night, I had asked for an American counselor. They told me they don't fucking have one.
It's not exactly someone like American or someone British that you speak to, but you can call your consulate in that country or in your home country. Yeah. So usually if something like that happens, like, you would speak to your own consulate, right? But they wouldn't let me do that. They were like, until we've decided what's happening, like, you can't speak to anyone. So I was just like, well, I can't do anything. I'm like, my freedom, I had no freedom. And I think that's why I struggled so much in that situation, because I'm the type of person where I like to have some control over my environment, and I had no control whatsoever over anything. Mm-hmm. And then anyway, they ended up denying my entry after all that. After he went through my phone, they found nothing, went through my laptop, found nothing. They still denied me. And within 1 hour of them telling me I was denied, they had me on a plane to London, which was a whole other thing, because I didn't come from the UK. I came from the Philippines. So what I found out was Korea Air brought me in, and apparently it was their responsibility to check that I had an onward ticket. And because they didn't check that, they were now responsible for taking me out of the country. So I could only leave on a Korea Air flight, right? So the airline came to speak to me, and they were like, where do you want to go? And I was like, well, I want to go back to Asia. So, you know, Korea, Japan, whatever. I couldn't go back to the Philippines because the Philippines need an onward ticket, right? So as we're having this conversation, one of the other officers who's had nothing to do with me this whole time, don't even know who he is, he just hears our conversation and he's like, are you from the UK? I said, yeah. He said, well, then you're going back to the UK. I was like, but I'm from the UK. I know. And he was like, well, I'm telling you, you're going back to the UK. So where do you want to be? London. And like, I'm looking at my case officer, like, are you not going to say some shit? Like, I don't even know who this guy is. And he's just arguing with me. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, I'm not from London. I live in the North. So I told them to take me to the North. They didn't. They took me to London. But I had to go back to South Korea, then from South Korea back to London. So all in all, for 4 days, I was just in airports and like immigration. So all I ate was airplane food. I didn't shower. I had the same clothes on for 4 days.
And I don't think you can know how strenuous that is. Like, when I tell you, going from, you was at LAX, right? All right. So that had to have been, how many hours was that flight?
So from South Korea to LAX, it was 12 hours.
Imagine 12 up, then 12 back. Imagine you didn't get a rest.
Because I did Philippines to South Korea, which was about 3 hours. Then I had a 9-hour layover. Then I did 12 hours to LAX, spent 15 hours in LAX. Then I did 12 hours back to South Korea. And then I didn't even know this, because when I got to South Korea and I was waiting for my next flight, I didn't even know how long this flight was. When I boarded the flight to London, the woman next to me, I was like, do you know how long this flight is? She told me 15 hours. Like, 15. At that point, my phone's on like 11%. I literally wanted to blow my brains out. I was like, I can't do another flight.
It's like your body, just imagine sitting in a chair, right, on a bus. Just imagine sitting in that chair for as long as she just said. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. That's why when y'all asked me earlier about like when I was traveling, like I was traveling so much that I was so burnt out. So by the time I got to the resort, I didn't go out. I just went to sleep. So her situation was way past that. So I'm like, yeah, that's insane.
Yeah.
She didn't get to lay down for days. Yeah. She didn't get to lay down for days at all.
And you know what? I think they do it on. They do that on purpose. They want you to be like mentally like weak. Do you know what I mean? They want you to be sleep deprived and hungry, and it's like in the room you're in, you can't even turn the lights off. You can't even sleep because you don't have a blanket, you don't have a pillow, and the room's freezing fucking cold because the AC's on. And I remember one girl I was with, she asked her officer, like, can I get a blanket? And he was like, what do you think this is, a hotel?
Yo, Los Angeles is crazy.
Yeah. So I remember when I did eventually get into London, because when I got to London, I had a whole issue with Korea Air because they were trying to make me pay for the flight for being deported. They were like, you need to pay £1,400. I was like, fuck off. That's, you want me to pay for my own deportation? Yeah, so they were refusing to give me my passport back, right? So, like, I've just had enough. So I'm having a full-on, like, meltdown argument with these Korean people in the airport. Eventually, someone comes to help me. And as soon as I stepped through the gates in Heathrow Airport, mate, it's like my freedom came back to me. Like, I felt my freedom come back. No one gave a shit who I was or anything. And that's when it revealed what I'd just been through.
You was back in your own country anyway. Like, I feel like when I touched Utah, back from being in Asia to Utah, man, I was ready to curse anybody out. Because out the country, you can't really speak your mind the way you would speak. You can. It's just, there's so many things you're risking, especially if you see the way they prisons and stuff look. It's just not worth it. But when I touch back in America, it's on. I don't care.
But the crazy thing about it, when I'm listening to her story, is like, because at the beginning of the story, she was saying, like, you know, you're not in trouble. But the way she was treated is like, you damn near saying, like, it's like you're saying one thing, but your actions, like, you treating me like I am in trouble. So it was like, what is it? Like, why she had to go through all that just to.
Yeah. Just say, and remember, during this, like, no one knows that I've been detained. So when I eventually finished the interview and I got my 5-minute phone call, so I get one call and I have to tell them who I'm calling. It has to be on loudspeaker. So at that point, it was like 3 a.m. in the UK. So I was like, there's no one worth calling back home. So the person who was supposed to be picking me up from the airport in Charlotte, I called them. And I was like, at least someone knows I'm here. You know, and I felt bad because they were literally pulling up at the airport as I'm still in LAX. So, so I got that phone call. And then my case officer was actually very surprised that I didn't get, that I got denied. He was like, oh, like, I'm really surprised. Like, I honestly thought you were going to get, like, access, like, admitted. I don't know what the word is. But he felt so bad for me that they're not supposed to give me my phone until I land back in London, right? I don't get my passport or phone back till I get back in London. But he felt so bad for me that he actually snuck the phone to me underneath the table so that I could text someone. But like I said, my phone was almost dead. And I was like, everyone back home's asleep. So I just put like a post on my Instagram story. And I was like, I've been detained. I've been here 15 hours. So everyone could see it. Mm-hmm. And so my sister had seen that. And she'd called the British consulate from back home because no one knew. Because once I put that post up, I was on a flight for 12 hours. Gotcha. So no one can get hold of me. So she called the British consulate. And then I think the British consulate then tried to contact the US immigration. But by that point, I was on the flight. So it was too late for them to do anything anyway.
US don't play. You know, I think they did that to you. I feel like they deal with so many different people. They don't look at you as an individual, as Rachel, you know. They're just seeing you as everybody else they've ever done with. Bad experiences, good experience, whatever. You know, that's just sad that happened to you, and it was for no reason.
Yeah. But if I want to, also, can I just say that they took up a whole page in my passport to let the world know that I was denied, which really pissed me off. I feel like you didn't need to use a whole page.
They stamped her passport book. Take up a whole page is crazy because you could fit 4 stamps in one page.
You can fit 8 stamps on a page. I have one page in my passport that has 8 stamps on it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But if I want to come back to the US, which I'm gonna try and come back, probably beginning of next year, I have to get a visa. I can't come on Esther again.
So what? So you basically got wrongfully denied then, like, because I heard the story, but it's like you can't come back over some shit you didn't really even do. Like that's crazy. Like
she can come back. It would just be on like a different visa. Like usually when you're going into a different country, it's usually a tourist, student, or whatever.
No, I get that, but it's like she got a stamp on her jaw. Like she ain't even do nothing. Like I could see she was actually trying to make a move or something. You know what I'm trying to say?
I know.
Yeah, bro, it is what it is. That's like, it.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. Like a small story with me when when I went to Jamaica and shit. I thought I was about to get detained. I fucking went through the fucking through the metal detectors with a what's it called it with these joints with a fucking grinder and shit, and they had all this weed in there and shit.
Oh my god!
Wait, you put that in your luggage?
Yeah,
he lucky. Yeah.
And they pulled me to the side and shit. And they asked me like, "Yeah, you got weed in your?" I'm like, "I might." And shit, they opened the joint. And see, I'm like, "Oh shit!" And then she was like, and she just looked at me and shit. And then she just poured it out in the fucking in the trash and then let me go ahead and shit. But come to find out, I had a whole fucking L in my pocket and shit. And that shit didn't go off and shit. Like, and I got on the plane with that and shit. But my whole point is like, that was like a wake up call. I almost draw. Like I could have fucking got brought in the back or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
nah, you was lucky. Whoever she was, she might have liked you or something because she was supposed to strip you butt naked and stick a finger up your ass. Like,
I remember my second time I went to Amsterdam. I think it was a couple of years ago. I bought some like space cakes while I was there, some edibles. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to take these home. And I put them in my suitcase. And then I get on the flight and we're flying back and we land back in the UK. And as we land at the airport, the plane like didn't line up like parallel to the airport. It was like turned, which I thought was weird. Mm-hmm. And then I see all these police cars like pulling up our plane and putting tape around it. And I was like, oh my God, are they coming to arrest me for my space cakes? I started like passing out on the airplane. And then they get on the airplane and they're like walking down the aisles like this. And I'm like, okay, they know who they're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. They're looking out, whoever it is. They're getting closer to me. My heart's pounding. The guy behind me was the person that they were looking for. So when they got to me, I was like, oh my God. And then it wasn't even me. It was the guy behind. But I remember being so paranoid. Swear to God, I was so scared. Not like that stopped me because I've took mushrooms in my suitcase a few times. Mm. The thing is I actually had my last dose in the Philippines because I was like, I'm not taking these into the US. I'm not going to risk it. Mm-hmm. And I finished it in the Philippines. I know.
You know, it's two places you do not take drugs. U.S. or Malaysia. Yo, Malaysia was like, you been through that airport?
In Malaysia? No.
Listen, I got off the airplane, walked down this long-ass walkway.
Mm-hmm.
It took like 5 minutes to get down there. Went down, turned all the way over, walked 5 minutes down this block. Had to get the visa stuff situated. I had to scan my passport, go through there, put my stuff through the thing, go upstairs, scan my passport, put my stuff through the thing. I ate, went down the steps, scanned my passport, put my stuff through the thing. I'm like, yo, these people in Malaysia don't play. Like, if you have something, they will catch you.
Mm.
Like, you will get arrested in Malaysia, 100%.
Hey, Rachel, you a Pisces?
No.
I'm wrong?
Yeah, I don't have any Pisces in my chart. Are you a Pisces?
No. I thought you was a Pisces. Oh. Like, because
you're a Scorpio?
Like, nah, I'm a Libra.
Oh, a Libra. Okay, I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn. All right, got you. Yeah. I know. He's a Virgo and shit. Huh?
I don't know nothing about this sign stuff. Y'all just like, okay.
Yeah, you know, I just started like past 2 years knowing. Like, I thought I was like an expert, but I was wrong as shit. Like, I've been like guessing motherfucking signs like off the way they talk. But
okay, do you know your moon and rising?
Yeah, my moon is Sagittarius, my rising is Cancer.
Oh, okay. So you're quite passionate.
Yeah, I'm passionate about the stuff I do. Yep.
Yeah, Sagittarius are the free spirits of the zodiac.
Yeah,
and your moon is your emotions. So, what was your rising?
Cancer.
Oh, and okay, what sign?
Yeah. That's Rachel's shit right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I ain't know that.
That's her shit right there. Yeah, it's the right one. Y'all got any final comments?
Shit, my final comment is like, I mean, I love the conversation we had. I mean, like, I would like, you know, we damn near grew up with each other. So, you know, I feel like we could probably all meet up one day. You know, it's sad, you know, we got kicked out the country and show over some bullshit, but maybe we could meet somewhere else, you know what I mean? And then we all get together and have a good time and shit.
See, Rachel knew me. If me and Rachel was talking like how we do now,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I could have saved you a little bit. If you would have made a call to me or something, I feel like I could have at least flew out there and tried to save you.
In LAX, you're going to come save me?
Yeah, it's like a $50 flight.
How am I going to do that with a phone, Blizzy?
I don't know. That's what I said. If it was some way, I'd have been able to help you.
I'll keep that in mind next time.
You got any final comments?
I don't have final comments today. I feel like I've talked so much.
I'd say my final comments will be travel. It's not that expensive. In the next episode, we're going to go into detail and we're going to actually do an example and show people how we book our tickets, because the way I book my stuff is different from how Rachel do it. And I didn't even talk about the two new books that I wrote. I have a VPN package, the ultimate VPN package that I wrote. And I have Travel Light, Travel Right. My second book that I wrote, basically teaching people how to pack right and not get charged for anything extra, because we like to save money. But yeah, that's pretty much it. This is the bad take. This is the bad take podcast.